Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, a show where we interview the most influential people in real estate to teach you how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more customers. What is up, everybody? Grant Weiss here. Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast. Very, very excited for our interview today. We have one of the foremost experts on leadership and performance, Mr. James Arthur Ray, on today. And I know, based on what I've seen, based on what I've studied, this man is going to deliver some incredible insight, incredible value, hopefully that you'll be able to take and consume and apply in your life. So, man, James, thank you so much for stopping by the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's an honor to be here, Grant. I appreciate you reaching out to me.
Love it. Love it. So let's dive right into this. Who is Mr. James Arthur Ray? How did you get to where you are today?
Well, it's been a long adventure, quite frankly, and I'll do my best to compress it. And you can come back and ask details as necessary. But grew up really insecure kid. My father was a Protestant minister. I was introverted. I'm still an introvert, by the way, in an extroverted position and world. But I started really young to try to figure out how the world works. I was so insecure and so introverted. I thought if I could figure out how the world and the universe works, then I could maybe apply that to my life and make a better life for myself. So I started, you know, extensively studying when I was 18 years of age. And I've, you know, over that time, which was a long time ago now, I've read every great spiritual tradition. I've had the blessing to be able to study with a lot of masters in that area, including a Zen master for a number of years. I went into AT&T and I was really good in business. I was at AT&T School of Business as a C-suite consultant for a number of years, working with executives on leadership and performance. I've studied psychology and biology and even quantum physics, and I was looking for the commonality between all of them, and believe it or not, it's there. My educational background is behavioral sciences, so I've always been fascinated with what drives human behavior. And after my career at AT&T, I jumped off and started my own business consulting company. That's where I started, and went in and worked with organizational culture. We still do that to this day. And the culture is defined as the collective values, beliefs, assumptions, perceptions of all individual team members. And so when you get those in coherence and congruence, moving in the same direction, you really become an unstoppable force in the world. And some of the greatest companies that we know of have done a really good job of that. And most companies do a really poor job of that. I then, you know, got into writing books and speaking and doing, you know, keynotes and appearances. And I rose to the top or the pinnacle in around 2008. A little movie called The Secret came out, and I was a part of that. And, you know, it's interesting because it was kind of a blessing and a curse, because I had this real business practical background, and The Secret, you know, kind of appealed to the romantics in the world. And so that kind of pigeonholed me into this, you know, what I'll call foo-foo. That's a technical term.
I've heard the technical term, yeah.
You're right. Ceiling surfer kind of pigeonhole. And I'm not, you know, I'm very grateful for The Secret, because it catapulted me certainly onto Oprah and Larry King. And I was on a show at the time, and all those things. It took my work out into the world in a great way. I had been living pretty much hand to mouth prior to that time, and playing a lot of entrepreneurial solitaire. I don't know if you've ever done that, Grant, but entrepreneurial solitaire is where you take all your credit cards and throw them out on the bed and try and figure out which one has a balance on it, so you can.
I was just posting about the entrepreneurial journey and how I've, you know, woken up and had to put groceries on three different cards. Like I've definitely been in it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it, and there's so many. Again, going back to the term romantic or foo-foo, there's so many, particularly in the young generation today, who have this romanticized idealism around what it takes to build a business and to be an entrepreneur. And man, it's tough and it's lonely a lot of times, and nobody can understand your journey unless they've taken it. And you can tell them all day long, but they still don't get it. So anyway, I was playing a lot of that, you know, living on faith cookies and vision sandwiches for a long time. And then boom, The Secret. And it just took off. And I ended up, you know, at a really peak in my career. I had my dream home. I had multiple millions in the bank, and a New York Times bestseller, and Fortune magazine wrote me up as the new leader of leadership and performance. You know, People magazine wrote up Harmonic Wealth as the number one celebrity read in 2008, and it was just like blowing me away. And then came the aftermath, and in October of 2009, my company, my team, and I were conducting a five-day deep dive into the psychology and the science of success. And contrary to what most people believe in today's world, Grant, and you might resonate with this, is that your success or failure, and whether you're in investments, whether you're in real estate, whether you're, regardless of what industry you're in, your success or failure is not about skills. It's not about marketing. It's not about your intelligence. It's not really about hard work, because we can find people with all of those things who are not doing very well. Mm. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying that's not present. Of course it's present. But what really drives your success or failure is your mental mastery. It's your psychology. Your psychology always drives your strategy. The way you think, feel, and act is always going to determine, or I should say, the way you think and feel is always going to determine how you act. It's going to determine whether you have the mental toughness and the emotional strength in this disruptive world in which we live to continually push forward against the resistance in the marketplace, and more importantly, the resistance within. And so we were doing this five-day deep dive in Sedona, Arizona in 2009, October, into unresolved emotional issues, into micro, sometimes macro traumas, and helping bring those up into conscious awareness so that we could heal them, integrate them, and utilize them versus be hampered by them, if that makes sense to you. Well, you know, as you might imagine, it was a small group, and I was working up close and personal, and we dove deep together, we worked together, we cried together, we hugged. I got really close to these people, and they moved from the category of client to friend. At the end of the five-day experience, we had this, what was typically a graduation exercise. It was always, you know, a high for everyone. It was a physical metaphor, a physical learning, experiential learning event called a sweat lodge. And every other year it had been a high, and people come out. And the objective is to take all that deep psychological, emotional work you had done during the week and put it into the physical realm, and then push your boundaries in the physical realm to prove to yourself that you're going to go home and do the same in your life and business. Well, you know, something went incredibly wrong in October of 2009, and three of my clients who are now friends lost their lives that day. And, you know, if you've ever lost someone you love and care about, you know how that feels. I mean, it was heartbreaking. And, you know, more than I could bear on a daily basis to even think that the antithesis of everything I had lived and built my life around, helping people, inspiring, empowering people, helping them transform themselves, you know, to have them get hurt on my watch was just, it was mind-boggling. And it still is to this day. I carry that to this day. And that would have been more than enough, but, you know, the state of Arizona decided to charge me with a crime on that and hold me responsible as for a criminal act. And I just want to say, Grant, I am responsible. I mean, that's the price of leadership. And in my new book that's coming out in February, The Business of Redemption, subtitled The Price of Leadership, I mean, that's the price you have to pay. And here's another word of caution to the new entrepreneurs and the old entrepreneurs who are listening today. when something goes sideways in your business, there's one person in the crosshairs. You know, you don't throw your team under the bus. You don't place blame. You don't dodge. You are responsible, and I accept that responsibility. And if you can't step up to that, then you need to stand down, mm-hmm. because that's the price of leadership. And so let's not romanticize what entrepreneurship and leadership really means. It carries a tremendous amount of responsibility. Well, long short, I was indicted, prosecuted, and convicted of negligence, which is unintentional harm. You know, things were missed, things were overlooked, things could have been done better. And again, I carry that weight every single day. And I agree there were things that could have been done better. There were things that could have been that were missed, and I wish to God they hadn't have been. But needless, ended up losing everything. You know, my dream home is gone. My Inc. 500, I don't know if I mentioned that, but my team and I got inducted into the Inc. 500 in 2009 with one of the fastest growing, most successful privately held businesses in the nation, if not the world. And I lost that. It took me 20 years to build. I lost that. And I lost my life savings. And I eventually lost my liberty. The biggest thing I lost, I've already mentioned, were three friends that I deeply cared about. And so I went to prison for 2 years. I came out in 2013 in the barren desert of Arizona, and I was 54 years of age. I was in horrible physical condition. I had lost almost 40 pounds, which I didn't need to lose. I was homeless. Oh, I lost my dream home. I think I mentioned that. I was homeless, literally homeless, and I was $20 million in debt. So, you know, broke, if you're broke today, broke looked good to me. You know, broke was so far above $20 million in debt that it looked attractive, right? And so I feel your pain. And so the question is, what do you do when everything you've built your life around, everything you believe about the country, about the world, about how business, about how things work, what do you do when it's all gone? Who are you when it's all gone now? Well, that's the questions I had to answer. And the short answer is, and then I'll throw to you, is if you know why you're here, most people don't. Let's call that purpose. You know, I work with a lot of very successful people, you know, multiple six, seven figure, eight figure business people. And they make a lot of money, but they come to me and they say, I still feel like something's missing. You know, why am I here? What's the meaning of life? What's purpose? Far and away, that's the number one question I'm asked as I travel around the world. And when you know that, the answer is to the question, what do you do when it's all gone, is you get back up and you come back strong, mm-hmm. and you keep going.
That is a story, my man. That is some incredible, incredible, incredible stuff. Sorry you had to go through that, but it sounds like you've done something that I think a lot of people are trying to do. Maybe not to, as you know, such an intense degree. Maybe people aren't $20 million in debt. Maybe people haven't had some of the tragedy that seems to have taken place. But I think that, you know, when life seems a little down or a lot down, you made a comment about this earlier when you were saying it, how your psychology drives, you know, your behavior, the way that you feel will drive the way that you tend to act. How do you bounce back from something like that? I understand what you're saying is you just get back up and you go back at it stronger, but a lot of people listening to this right now could be in a situation where they're focused on maybe the things that they shouldn't be focusing on. In your situation, it would seem like it would be very easy to focus on debt, and it would be very, very easy to focus on the destruction that it takes. How do you shift your mindset? How do you shift your psychology to start focusing on moving forward in life?
Well, that's the billion-dollar question. And I, you know, the quick answer is we need to change the conversation in this world. And that's a big task, Grant. We need to change the conversation from money to meaning. We need to change the conversation from economy to ecology. Ecology meaning how everything works together. And we've been chasing the dollar, and please understand me, you know, I'm not anti-money by any means. We all need it. But it's a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. And unfortunately, you know, if money had been my supposed meaning or an end in itself, when all my millions, literally, I mean, I had my financial guy, I met with him in March of 2009. He sat across the desk and I had just bought my dream home in Beverly Hills on Mulholland Drive, 7,500 square foot estate. I decked it out. It'd been a long held vision. And he looked across the desk and he grinned at me and he said, "Man, you've done it." He said, "You can retire today." This is March of 2009, and live comfortably for the rest of your life, barring any catastrophe. Well, little did we know, you know, I mean, I didn't want to retire because I love what I do, but I'll tell you, it sure feels damn good to know that you can. Mm-hmm. Right? And yet fast forward 8 months in the same year in October, it was all gone. I mean, everything that can be lost or taken away has absolutely no value. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. It's just a tool. But what we let ourselves become is a tool of the tool. Instead of using the tool, we become a tool of the tool. And I can't tell you how many people, I've worked a lot in real estate with some of the biggest companies, Century 21, REMAX, a lot of them. I've worked with a lot of investment, Merrill Lynch. I mean, you can see them all on my website. And continuously what I hear people tell me, "Why'd you get into this business?" "Well, I heard I can make a lot of money." Well, that's the absolute worst strategy in the world for happiness and fulfillment.
Right.
And by the way, there's mounds of research that proves people who pursue happiness and fulfillment have a greater propensity to make more money. And when they do make money, they're happy and fulfilled doing it. People who pursue money have absolutely no chance of becoming happy and fulfilled. And even if they do make more money, they're still not happy and fulfilled. So we've got, you know, coming back to what I said earlier, we've got to change the conversation. And that's a big task. It's a huge task. I mean, this continuous drive that money is going to make us more happy and fulfilled is just the grandest lie that we've ever been told.
Yeah, I'd have to agree that what you're saying is just absolutely true. I mean, there's many, many, many times in my life where I've made decisions that are purely financially grounded. Like, I'm only doing this because it's going to make me money. And I've found almost 100% of the time that those things usually didn't pan out. And I was more tired, more stressed, more, you know, any other negative emotion that you can tie to it, because it wasn't actually something that I wanted to be doing. It was something we were just doing purely to make more money. And those things typically don't end well, especially when you don't have some of the attachments that, you know, you're describing. You're not really pursuing something that is giving you purpose. It really, really can. And you see this a lot in real estate agents. There's real estate agents. There's a set group of people that, "Hey, I'm doing this because I was working at a bar and I heard I could make more money selling real estate," or whatever that might be. That's not everybody's story, of course. But I find that the people that got into the industry because of their own experience, either buying and they thought they could do it better, or they wanted to help more people, or whatever that might look like, people that had more of a human-centric purpose behind what it is that they were going to do, you know, typically tend to be more happy professionals, more joyous people in life, have a better balance in their life, those different types of things. And you alluded to this earlier too, when you said, you know, marketing's not going to solve the problem. Building a brand isn't necessarily going to solve the problem. Some of these things are very simply tools. Money, I believe money is just a byproduct of what it can do for you. It's not something that should become a master, you know, in anybody's life. But a lot of these things, I guess getting my point, a lot of these things create artificial change in our lives, where we may come in and we may make a lot of money, but we didn't handle the work that needed to be done in here, like, you know, in our mind and our body and our soul and those different types of things, that will actually create lasting, long-term change in life.
And sustainability.
And sustainability. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so if I'm looking at you as somebody to mentor me, and I'm saying, "Man, how can I find more purpose? How can I find more meaning?" Do you have a couple of action steps that I could take that would help me get grounded in a greater purpose as opposed to just chasing money?
Yeah, I actually do. And let me just preface it by saying every time I go into a business, when they hire me to come in, I begin by saying, look, some of your people may quit. Mm. If I come in and work with you, some of your people may quit. And some owners or entrepreneurs will go, oh my God, I don't want them to quit. Well, yeah, you do. Because, you know, you don't want someone there who's not supposed to be there. And the fact is, a lot of people are not supposed to be there. They need to be somewhere else. And I find this rampant in real estate. You know, I mean, real estate is tough, man. You know that.
It's tough. It's a business. It's a business. And not everybody was designed to be a business owner. And that's so evident. I do not believe that the vast majority of people that hold a real estate license should have one. I totally agree. It's a business. It's tough. It's not easy. We were talking about entrepreneurship. What does Elon Musk say? Entrepreneurship is the equivalent of
chewing on broken glass and staring into the abyss of death. I love that quote. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Right. I mean, he's accurate. He's right. Absolutely. And he should know. I mean, real estate is a 7 day a week job, you know, 24/7 sometimes, and you better love it. You know, Steve Jobs said, find something you love. If you don't love it, you'll quit. And so let's get beyond the romanticism and let's get down to brass tacks. So back to your question, you know, I have a process that I take my clients through as I one-on-one coach them or in my Leadership for the Future event or even in Mental Mastery, you know, which is another one of my two-day events where I have them start to go back, and it's what I call beginning at the beginning. So if I was going to work with you, Grant, I'd say, let's begin at the beginning. What does that mean? Well, let's go back to your earliest childhood memory and let's ask some real poignant questions. What have I always been attracted to? What have I naturally been good at? What have I enjoyed doing? What do I now do even without even being paid for doing it? And there's more, but when you answer those questions, what you'll find is that every single one of us, and I believe this, I'm convinced of this. You know, I've been blessed to work with over 1 million people from 145 different countries around the world, and we all have a purpose for being here. We're not just here to pay the bills, we're not to get a paycheck. We've got something to contribute. And so you have what I call a unique genius. You came in, and there's research from Harvard around this as well, that everyone is a genius in at least two areas of their life. And it doesn't mean that genius is developed. It just means that you have innate abilities, you have unique gifts, that if you will do the work and if you will develop them, you can become a genius. Now, the big word is if, or we could say when, because, you know, Dr. Anders Ericsson out of Florida is the man on what it takes to develop mastery. And that's 10,000 hours. I'm sure you've heard about this. Now, let's break down 10,000 hours into a practical application. That's 10 years with about 3 hours of what he calls deliberate practice every single day for 10 years, gives you 10,000 hours, and that's what it takes to become a Kobe Bryant, okay, for instance. That's what it takes to become a Steve Jobs. That's what it takes to become an Elon Musk or a Bill Gates. And if you study their lives, they were doing these things long before they ever got paid. And so you come in with this unique genius, and I believe that's a God-given gift, and it's disrespectful not to develop it. Now, if you're not using your unique genius, it's not your fault. It's your responsibility, but it's not your fault because you're not encouraged to do that. The minute you get into the school system, or maybe even with mommy and daddy, you start to be socialized into the conditioning of follow the market and the money. You know, who's making the most money? Where are the most jobs? But the fact is, and this is going to sting, okay, but I'll say it nonetheless because you need to be aware. Forbes tells us that in 10 years or less, 50% of the jobs are going to be gone. So, and let's not make the mistake of thinking it's just labor jobs. AIs are making industries obsolete. And by the way, at the same time, they're making individuals obsolete. Now, before you think that's not me, it's just labor jobs, be really careful. Because let me give you some of the top industries on the hit list. Real estate. Okay, sorry guys and gals, but top industry on the hit list, and you know this. Look at how many people can do their own stuff online now. They don't need you. They have to want you. Big difference. People don't do what they need. They do what they want. Go.
I'd like to just make sure that we throw a big hey, pay attention to the sentence that just came out of his mouth. People don't want, they don't need you. They've got to want you. That is absolute gold, because any realtor that just heard what you just said instantly stopped listening and they went to justification in their mind and said, yeah, but they need us. And so I think what you said is just absolutely perfect. It's not that they don't need you. It's that they don't want you. They want to do things without you. They want to make it easier. They want, you're raising a generation of Gen Zs that's done everything in their life on a tablet. It doesn't matter.
Zillow is crushing it. All right. I mean, and many, many others. And it's not just real estate, the medical industry. You know, I've got an appointment with my doctor. I'm in Henderson, Nevada. And my doctor that I work with is in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I'm doing my medical appointment with her online, just like you and I are talking, tomorrow. Okay, for about 15 minutes. I don't have to go wait in a waiting room. I don't have to pay some high dollar fee. You know, I mean, the medical industry, the legal industry. Let's face it, most of what lawyers do is research. Well, AIs can do that way better. Way better than human beings can. And so travel has been hit for a long, long time. You know, so on and so forth. I'll stop there. But it's 50% of the job. So they've got to want you. They don't need you. They have to want you, because people invest in what they want. And so consequently, you know, that's a feeling. That's not some intellectual fodder. And so consequently, going back to the original question, if you're in an industry just attempting to make money, you said it very well, Grant, you're not going to bring 100% to the game. You're there for a dollar, and guess what? Dollars come slow in many cases. And so if you're just there for the dollar, you start to get frustrated, you start to feel crappy, you start to get tired. I mean, 16.2 million people, according to current research, are depressed in this nation. All right. I mean, every 40 seconds, someone commits suicide. 43% of the people surveyed said they're too exhausted to perform in their daily work. Well, why is that? Because we need to change the conversation. And the conversation needs to be, what are my unique gifts? What's my unique genius? And how can I utilize those things that I've been God-given, gifted with, literally, and develop them to a level of mastery? And you go, well, 10,000 hours, 10 years. I mean, for a millennial, that's like, you know, that's like a whole life. You know, what the, no, 10 years? Are you kidding me? I've been working for 10 months and I'm not making an impact yet. You know, what? I'm going to quit. You know, no, you got to stay the course. And I love millennials. Please, I'm not millennial bashing. I think the millennials have the potential to be some of the greatest leaders that this country has ever seen. And they're going to have to change the story. They're going to have to really, you know, you hear a lot about, let's make a difference, let's make an impact. Okay, well, you're going to have to pay the price to do that. And you're going to understand what that means.
There's a lot to unpack there, but that's, I mean, it's just a ton of brilliance. I mean, it really is. And I do agree that you've got a generation of people that the first half of the generation saw, you know, struggle. You know, they saw the recession. They saw what it means to have to do those things. And when I say have to do those things, like to have to dig deep, to have to figure out how to make it all work, to have to figure out how to bounce back. But you have the last half of the generation that, you know, really hasn't experienced personally a lot of those other types of, you know, economic struggles, things that are really like way out of their control. And that's not getting too personal, right? There's obviously people that have grown up with mother, father situations that weren't great, with other types of, there's all of those things. And I don't want to discredit or dismiss that. But if I'm looking at how am I going to master the game, would you say it's I'm going to master myself?
Yeah, I mean, self-mastery is the greatest mastery. And the number one, I want to emphasize, quality for a hugely successful and fulfilled entrepreneur in today's world is self-awareness. And here's the other thing that research is telling us is that, you know, we live in a world that is obsessed with IQ and now TQ, which is technological intelligence. And we have generations who have high IQs and a lot of TQ, but what they don't have is EQ, emotional intelligence, and AQ, which is adaptability intelligence. And the research proves that EQ and AQ trump IQ by multiples of 10 in predicting your success in life and business. And so self-awareness is about beginning to understand who am I, you know, and again, going back to my situation in the desert, you know, 54 years of age in the barren desert, broke and homeless, well, worse than broke and homeless, who am I? You know, what am I going to do? You know, everything's gone. Now what? Because the fact is, most people define themselves by what they have and what they do. That's not who you are. And so we have to develop this self-awareness, true self-awareness. And as we do that, we begin to then do what we're here to do, and we enjoy the process, and we really live. We don't just exist. And ironically, Grant, and yet not so ironically, we have a greater propensity and maybe probability to make more money doing it than if we're miserable and contracted and frustrated and exhausted all the time.
Do you feel like, you know, something like real estate, for example, do you feel like some of these things can be engines or vehicles for fueling that personal development and fueling that personal growth? I mean, I'm insanely passionate about saving the leaders in the real estate industry. I don't believe that everybody deserves to have a real estate license. I don't believe that everybody will have a real estate license if you look at any type of economic predicted downturn that might exist in the near future. I think that there's a select group of people that really want and deserve to be in real estate. But regardless of that belief, I mean, do you feel like if I go through and I start to really uncover who I am and what I want to be a part of and what I do, that real estate could be that vehicle that allows me to really drive that passion forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And let me give you a personal example. There, I have a real estate agent, a couple that I've dealt with here. I've purchased 7 different properties from them in Las Vegas over the years. 7. So I'm a pretty good client, and some of them were multiple 6-figure properties. Okay, so I'm a pretty good client, and here's how they operate. First of all, let me tell you what they don't do, and if you're a real estate agent, take some notes. They don't buy a whole, you know, boatload of housewarming gifts that they give out to everybody that is just completely worthless. I can't tell you how many real estate agents have given me a coffee table book, and I'm like, I don't want to set that in my living room. What the hell am I going to do with this? Right? They didn't put any thought into that whatsoever. They don't know who I am. They don't care who I am. They're just checking a box. They also don't put their faces on a bus stop bench. Please. You know, someone's going to set their ass on your face. All right, come on. Really? You think that's going to work? They don't go out and brag about that they're the top agent in Las Vegas, which they are. They, you know, I could go on. What they do, I just got an email from Debbie a couple weeks ago. She sent me an email and she goes, hey, you know, in case you didn't see, there's this concert in your neighborhood outdoors And we thought that you and Bear might enjoy this. So if you check it out if you aren't aware of it. Okay, I mean, it's a little thing, but let me tell you something. In a high-tech world, high touch is highly valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Can you still hear me, Grant?
I got you. If you want to go back, you where you dropped off, you said in a high-tech world, high touch is insanely valuable. If you want to go back there and just...
Yeah. High touch is highly valuable. I just got some message that my computer is changing my microphone or something. But they when I bought my first house from them, Debbie took the whole... I didn't know anything about Vegas. I was living in California at the time. And she took a whole day off and drove me around all of Vegas to all the furniture stores to let me look at the furniture stores and what I wanted to buy to outfit my brand new home. Who does that?
Mm.
Who does that? She didn't make a nickel short term for doing that. I lived in California. I had my first second home here. And so I wasn't here that often. And so she said, let me have your mailbox keys and your house key, and I'll drive by and make sure everything's okay once in a while, and I'll pick up your mail so it doesn't clutter up your box. Who does that? Well, Debbie and Mel do that. Those are the kind of things that build so much what's the word I'm looking for? Loyalty,
reciprocity, all those different types of
things. And I've bought 7 properties from them, and you better believe I'm not going to buy a property from anyone else. I don't care what they try to do to get my business.
Would you say, in essence, this is in practice the definition of EQ over IQ? Like, this is just purely one person to another, one human to another, business aside. I'm here to build a relationship and cultivate a relationship. I'm going to take an interest in who you are as a person, and I'm going to do things that are reflective of that. So that's absolutely what that is.
It is. And to your earlier point, can real estate be a vehicle for me to fulfill my purpose? And I've just given you an illustration of absolutely yes, because Debbie and Mel are not about selling homes. They're about helping people have a better quality of life. Big mm-hmm. difference, mm-hmm. huge difference.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, we're starting to see this as we, you got a guy like Gary Vee that has a thank you department in his company that solely exists to thank people for the way that they do business with them, or that they don't do business with them, one of the two. We recently started really trying to put this into practice. I had a client the other day that bought some services from us. And then as a result of his testimony, we were able to hook up with 4 or 5 more clients. And we went on and figured out he likes jazz. There's a jazz festival coming up. We bought him some tickets to the upcoming jazz festival. I wrote a personal card, dropped those in the mail. Have a potential relationship that we hope to develop with somebody. And if it doesn't develop, it's great, but figured out what his favorite cigars were, bought those, had them shipped to my house, wrote a personal note, then shipped them back. Like, those types of things will go farther, much farther, especially if you look at, in my opinion, real estate being a target, like you said, for all this tech that's moving in, all this innovation that's moving in. It's those little types of things, that EQ that you're talking about, that will far exceed or replace, some of the technical, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that separates you and me from an AI is our ability to feel.
Yeah.
You know, there is no technology, there's no expert on the planet today that says that AI can feel, or that they can become self-aware. And so consequently, that's what has to happen for us to thrive, maybe even survive, much less thrive in this Mach 10 world, disruptive world in which we live. And going back to understanding, I'll use myself as an example. You know, I show up and I do presentations. All right. I do coaching. I write books. I do interviews on podcasts, but that's not who I am, that's the vehicle I utilize to help perform what I'm here to do. What I'm ultimately here to do is to decrease human suffering and to increase happiness and fulfillment. That's what I'm here to do. Okay. So how do I do that? Well, I show up and I speak. I talk like I have conversations with you. I write books. I do live events. But ultimately, that's not who I am. Okay, going back to real estate. Okay, you close deals on houses. Great. That's not who you are. For Mel and Debbie, and I have not ever asked them to articulate it, but it's obvious in their behavior. I mean, let's face it, guys, the number one investment anyone makes is in their home. Mm-hmm. And so what you're really doing is helping families connect, feel secure, have a better quality of life. And when you have that in mind, selling the house is just part of how you do what you're here to do, if that makes sense to you.
It makes a lot of sense. And I wanted to bring that up because I don't want people to listen to this and say, okay, well, maybe real estate just isn't for me. It's like, well, it could not be, but
true.
More importantly, like, who are you and what are you hoping to accomplish in life? Real estate absolutely can be a vehicle for getting you to where you want to be, even if it's a vehicle that gets you to a pit stop that takes you to another vehicle, right? It can be that vehicle, but, you know, caring more about people is always going to be a better, I don't want to diminish it by saying business, but, you know, being a human being and just caring about other people.
It's a purpose. It's a purpose.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Mel just told me they took us out to dinner, you know, a couple of weeks back, and Mel was telling me how he jumped in the car at midnight and drove all the way down to the strip, you know, and people who live in the Las Vegas area don't go to the strip. You know, we avoid that as much as possible. But it's a little bit of a haul from Henderson. They live in the Henderson area as well. Yeah. Henderson's really quiet and nice. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, he jumped in his car at midnight and drives all the way down to the strip to drop off a contract. Well, you know, why is he willing to do that? Get out of bed, literally, and answer the phone and get up, get dressed and drive. Well, because they've got a grander vision of what they're here to do. And this vehicle is allowing them to do that. And so they don't grumble and moan and complain about it. You know, they just chunk up the higher purpose. And, you know, let me just be really frank. You know, I'm not Mr. Happy Smiley all day long, every day. There's a lot of things that grind my chain in running my business. And there's a lot of things that I do that I don't really love that much. And to the degree, though, that I can step back and access that higher purpose of why I'm doing what I'm doing and how this particular thing is not that enjoyable right now is going to help me accomplish that, then it totally changes the game internally for me. Going back to what you said, it all really comes from inside, because who you are inside is going to be projected outside.
I love it. All right. So I want to be respectful of your time. We went a little longer than I anticipated, but it's been a great conversation. I want to ask you three or four just kind of spitfire questions. I want you to try to answer them in, you know, less than 20 or 30 seconds if you can. I know that some of these questions might be difficult to do that, but I got a couple kind of just rapid fire questions for you. So,
okay.
What makes up a good leader?
Leading his or her own life effectively first.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. How do you mentioned this earlier, how do you foster genius?
Hard work. 10,000 hours, you find that unique gift and then you give your all to it. And I know this is rapid fire, but let me just say, if you're in a position now where you have no possibility to develop mastery, then quit wasting your time.
Do you believe that as some people, you know, they put that, they apply that 10,000 hours to skills? I think a lot of people do. I think, not that it's a misconception of the book, but do you believe that 10,000 hours, you could apply mastery to your own life?
I think to the degree you apply it to your life, it will affect everything. We live in a holographic universe. Everything affects everything. You know, one of these days we'll talk about quantum physics, Grant, and because I love that. But everything is non-locally connected. We know that in physics. And so you work on your life, you work on everything.
How does working on yourself affect your performance? I mean, obviously that's, I think that's kind of a cheesy question, but you're a master at leadership and helping companies perform and those different types of things. How are those two things so interconnected?
Well, there's five dimensions of leadership, and we don't have time to get into all of them, but you know, one of those is physiology, and I'm here to tell you that if you're only working, you know, nonstop, and I do, I work 14, 16 hours a day every day, but that work time also includes an hour and a half of working out. Mm-hmm. That's part of my job. And so again, everything affects everything. And when you have a focus holistically or holographically upon your life and you're in a better relationship, you're in a better vibratory rate, which again is physics, you're in a better state of mind, you're more happy and fulfilled, you're going to have more to bring to the game, which means you're going to have more rapport and more connection.
If I am maybe going through a tough life situation and I'm trying to, I don't know if think positive is the right word, but you know, get connected to a purpose and trying to focus on a future that I want to have, but I'm in a bad situation, I'm in a struggling situation, what is step one?
Been there, done that. Don't think positive. You know, positive thinking, and this is going to, we'll have to cue this up for another one, but positive thinking has created more pathology than it has created empowerment. Mm. And I'm a pretty positive guy, but what we've been told is to slap a smiley face on an open wound, and that just doesn't work. The first thing you have to do, and what I had to do in the deserts of Arizona, is I had to admit to myself, Mr. Positive, that my life sucked. Mm. All right. I had to embrace what I love this. The Navy SEALs say, embrace the suck. Mm-hmm. All right. I had to choose my life as it is. And I had to find the meaning in that, not in some far off, you know, fantasy of what it could be eventually. But the first step, if you're in a tough situation, is to embrace it, to embody it, not to suppress it, run from it, because anything that is suppressed will be expressed in later days in uglier ways.
Mm, man, I feel like we could probably be on another 2, 3, 4 hours, but I better pop it off right here, man. I cannot thank you enough. I got 2 pages of notes sitting here. I got, you know, just incredible takeaways. So I hope everybody else, if you're listening to this, that you did as well. Man, what is the best way for somebody to connect with you if they have more questions or they want to work with you? Or what's the best way for them to do that?
Just the website is the very best way, JamesRay.com, and everything's on there. You know, everything's available on there, coaching and live events and online programs, et cetera. And, of course, I'm all over social media too, but I don't answer PMs on social media. That's a full-time job, and I don't have the time to do that. So please don't send me PMs on social media. But I'm on Instagram, James Arthur Ray. I'm on Twitter, at James A. Ray. I'm on Facebook, official James Arthur Ray. And if you want to contact me in my office, the best way is through the website, jamesray.com.
Love it, man. We will make sure that we get everybody connected up. If you got any value from this at all, please reach out and you know, thank him for the work that he's doing. He's doing some incredible stuff, and you know, it's deeply, deeply impactful podcast episode, man. You had the mic drop moment of our podcast, talking about it doesn't matter if they need you, they have to want you. I mean, I think that's so, so important for an agent to understand. The way that you articulated that was just perfect. So thank you for that, and I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Marketing Genius Podcast. Continue to listen to us on our website. Please, if you find this podcast valuable, rate us on iTunes and Google Play. I look forward to seeing you all on the next episode. Peace. Thank you for listening to the Marketing Genius Podcast. Please make sure you remember to rate us on iTunes and Google Play so we can continue to bring you interviews of some of the most influential people in real estate to help you grow your business.